This hour of the Jason Rancho brought to you by MM Comfort Systems. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? The coronavirus.
There is a significant expectation from a lot of folks that on Friday, Governor Jay Inslee is going to announce that we're going to be rolling back into phase number two in King County and Snohomish County, and perhaps most of the counties across the state of Washington. A decision, by the way, that was made or will be made after the state legislature ended its session. The folks in Olympia had the opportunity to curb some of these powers, to have a say so that you would be represented. And Republicans did their best, but of course the Republicans don't have the power right now in Olympia. The ones who have the power are the Democrats, and they chose to say, whatever. Do your thing, Inslee. And so he's going to do his thing, even though it's going to hurt a lot of people.
In anything in life, you don't want to go backwards. It's not what you wake up to do.
That is the owner of a restaurant called Island Soul. His name is Theo. He spoke to Como TV. He understands what's on the line here. He understands what's on the line if we are to roll back into phase two, as we expect is going to be the case. He is a business owner, and like so many other business owners, they're going to be struggling as a result of this.
I've been in business a long time. This is the first time I'm going, wow, I mean, I don't know what to do.
What is he supposed to do? Help us understand, what is he supposed to do? Now, right now, new COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations are above the metrics that are completely random. And to be fair, we understood they were going to be random. You have to, if you're coming up with metrics from out of nowhere, they're going to be random. However, he's changed them, Inslee, in the past. They are completely random. And we are above where we need to be in order to stay into phase number three. In King County, for example, it's 229 cases per 100,000 residents. And more than five hospitalizations per 100,000 residents. We went over the numbers in Snohomish County yesterday. So part of going back into phase number two means all retail businesses go from 50% capacity to 25% capacity. Now, we know that some businesses like grocery stores haven't really been following the guidance anyway. So this is unlikely to impact them, but it will impact the restaurants that comply. The question then becomes, how many restaurants will comply this time around? Because I said this before, if you move back into a previous phase, you're going to get more of a pushback than you've seen in the past going into it for the first time. Because you're putting people like Theo in really tough positions.
My hours need to change, or I need to adjust or lay more people off. Because there's no way you can still do what you do on less people, on 25% less, and you were only dealing with 50%. This is definitely a tough time.
It's incredibly tough. It's made more maddening as we know that the spread worsens when you force people to stay home, because you know what's not natural? Staying home alone and not seeing anybody. And so instead of going to, say, a restaurant to socialize where people are following rules and there's not spread at restaurants in any meaningful way, they're going to go over each other's homes and they're not going to be following any of the mitigation rules, and COVID will then spread. So what's going to be done? Mayor Jenny Durkin says she's going to try to do something.
This has been the hardest year in the history of the city. We're hoping with this federal money, we'll be able to rejuvenate the small businesses and every community.
Not going
to
happen.
A way to get through these final months so that we can come back together.
I don't know if we're going to come back together, because there are a lot of businesses that are already permanently shut down in Seattle. And of course, everyone turns to the shots, the vaccines, saying this is the way to go. This is how we reopen. And part of me wonders, and I shouldn't wonder this, and yet here I am wondering it, whether or not some decisions are being made in order to convince people to get the vaccine rather than just come out and say we are mandating a vaccine. Although, in some circumstances, they are literally mandating a vaccine. Wazoo today announced that they are requiring students and staff to get vaccinated if they want to return to campus. To me, that is a problem. I seem to recall when folks on the left in media, I seem to remember Joy Reid being one of them, saying, oh, it's all a conspiracy. that right-wingers and right-wing media are pushing about vaccine passports. It's not real. No one's actually considering this. Yet, well, to go back to campus on Wazoo, you're going to have to literally show papers that you've been vaccinated. I think that that is wrong. Number one, this is not a fully approved vaccine from the FDA. It's under the authority of an emergency declaration, right? So I say this in the sense of not telling you not to get the vaccine. I am pro-vaccine. I want people to get the vaccine. I am getting my second shot today. Pfizer. I recommend everyone get a vaccine if it makes sense for them, in consultation with their doctor. That's what I did. But I step away from the point of mandating it. I am okay with you making a choice based on what we know about this disease. It makes a heck of a lot more sense for someone who is older and in that demographic who is at a greater risk of death getting a vaccine. I am certainly in the camp of supporting folks who have comorbidities, who are around people who have comorbidities or who are older. But I certainly understand why a 19-year-old kid who's going to Wazoo as a sophomore might not want to get a vaccine. PLU, go Lutes. The Lutes are forcing their students to get vaccines, yet not the staff, which is bizarre to me.
That's the Lute way.
The Lute way is reverse?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, actually, that was, I shouldn't have even asked that out loud. I acknowledge that. Sorry, Lutes. What's a lute again? It's a little guitar or it's a poet
they have
of some
like
kind.
A knight on their logo, so I think it's just a Lutheran.
You can't, knights is like cultural appropriation. What culture? I don't even know anymore. But it's weird that you're saying that the staff, who are older and likely have comorbidities, don't have to get the vaccine, and yet the younger, healthy people do. I've reached out to PLU to find out what's up with that. And they've not yet responded. They're going to respond, because when they don't respond to me, I just tell you to call them and email them, and then they don't like that. I'm not at that point yet. I do think that people should get the vaccine, though. I don't buy into the conspiracies. I don't think it's unsafe. If I thought it was unsafe, I wouldn't do it myself, but I'm doing it myself. I just want you to have a choice. It does sometimes feel like there are a lot of people out there in the media on the left, oddly enough, the ones who call out the anti-vaxxers. People on the left sometimes take positions that make it seem like they don't want people to get vaccinated. Joy Reid, who is one of the most ironically named people ever, because she has no joy in her life. Watch 5 minutes of her show. You'll see how angry and alone she is. She is an insane person. She is insane. She is vaccinated fully. Listen to what she told Dr. Vin Gupta from the UW.
Dr. Gupta, I am among the fully vaccinated, joined Team Pfizer, and I did go jogging today in the park, and I did, this was the mask that I wore with a doctor's mask under it.
Two masks?
And most of the people that I saw that were in the park was packed. I would say like 95% of the people still had masks on. There are people who are getting really upset about that.
Okay, well, you know what? You don't have to name us. We're not upset that you're wearing two masks. We are calling you an idiot for wearing two masks while fully vaccinated while outside. That's it. You are doing a disservice, Joyless Reid, when you decide to tell people that you are terrified of getting COVID despite having been vaccinated. You are doing a disservice when you tell people you are outside and you are double masking it. You do not have to do it. That makes no sense. The science and the data does not even back up wearing a mask while outside without vaccines. How do I know that? Because the doctors, including left-wing doctors like Dr. Gupta, say so on your own bad network.
You're going to see residual masking based on personal preference for months, if not years, after this pandemic is over. So no, I think nobody should judge anybody else's personal health decisions. Having said that, I will say that the CDC, it was well timed to put this out there, because there is no data. Frankly, there's not been data for many months now that outdoor transmission is a thing, especially when warm, humid air.
Wait, did you just hear that? Did you just hear what you just said?
It was all a bunch of gibberish and stupid
words. No, it wasn't.
Words.
No. Hey, dummy, that actually, you should have said that. That was, you weren't paying attention, were you?
No, I'm...
You weren't
I'm training.
I
have a new producer in training because you want to fire me.
Let's try that again. Reverse the tape. Did you just hear that?
Yeah, I did.
Oh my gosh, listen again.
Transmission is a thing, especially when
it's
warm,
not a
humid
thing.
Air. Where joy, we know respiratory viruses don't like warm, humid air. They like cold, dry air. So you have warmer weather, you have the fact that more people are vaccinated, the wind currents. There's no way you're going to really get exposed unless maybe you're in a rave or an outdoor concert where you're really close to people who are not masking.
Joy Reid ain't going to a rave, okay? Because it's white supremacy or something. Guys, you're not getting COVID outside. That is what the data overwhelmingly says. You are not getting COVID outside. Stop telling people to get a vaccine, and then have to double mask it while outside. Makes no sense. It's counterproductive. Because I'm wildly popular and everyone loves me, I'll be on Tucker Carlson later tonight and then Shannon Bream later tonight. I'll be doing a preview of the president's speech in front of a joint session of Congress. First time he's done it to go over the first 100 days in office for Tucker. I'll be talking about the first 100 days of office as it relates to policing. And then I'll be doing a rap. Literally, I'll be rapping for Shannon Bream in the 9 o'clock hour. Yeah, it's going to be insane.
What are you going to talk about?
I freestyle it, so she's just going to give me a beat.
Wow.
And I'm going to respond.
Wait, she makes beats?
Is that what the kids call it when they like spit? And like
beatboxing?
That.
Well, I mean, people don't beatbox anymore. But if she makes beats like digitally, that's kind of cool. Does she have a SoundCloud I can follow?
I guess.
You don't seem too confident in these answers.
I don't know. They just told me I got a rap, and they're gonna put down cardboard on the floor so I can do a spin of some kind.
Will there be a boombox?
Well, yeah.
And a 40.
The like alcohol?
Yeah, like a 40-ouncer.
I don't know.
That'd be nice.
I mean, we'll find out, I guess. If you want to watch a video of that, it's available on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/JasonRants. Hit the button.
What's trending in King County?
So to be very clear, and everyone needs to understand this, and it needs to be understood, and it needs to be repeated. There is no widespread voter fraud in Washington. There's no evidence of that. That is important to underscore. However, equally important to understand, to talk about, is that despite not having evidence of widespread voter fraud, there is evidence of voter fraud. Those two are not in conflict with one another. And we don't say that to undermine the system. We say that because we want to know that if someone tries to violate the sanctity of our election process, we can find out and we can prosecute. In King County, there are 17 suspected cases of voter fraud from this last election. Now, of course, 17 is 17 too many, but 17 does not change any election. I assume that 17 means we caught 17. There's probably more out there, but certainly I don't believe that there is enough to justify some of the conspiracy theories about how the whole election has been stolen and how people, Republicans, are never going to win elections. All of that is bunk. However, we have 17 cases that are suspected. I assume there's more, but doesn't matter. It's important to prosecute them. Here's Caleb Heimlich, Puyallup's pride, we should say. Caleb Heimlich.
In my opinion, we should try and track down who cast those ballots and prosecute those. I mean, that is a crime. Yep. It is fraud.
But as the King County Election Chair Julie Wise tells King 5, this is not a sign of any sort of widespread fraud.
This isn't part of any widespread voter fraud. We have not discerned or received verifiable information or evidence of rampant fraud or improper election administration.
Now, there's no reason to distrust what she said. There's no reason not to listen to the Secretary of State, Republican Kim Wyman. However, when we are told by folks on the left that there's no fraud whatsoever, anytime, anywhere, at any point, we need to push back at that, and we need to remind them of these cases of 17 suspected cases. These are not anomalies. We know that these happen in counties all across the country. Now, why is any of this important? Well, because Republicans, all of us, tend to support voter ID laws. We do this because we want a system to be as safe as humanly possible, even if it means we're only going to stop 17, 18, 19, 20 cases of potential fraud. We want a system as secure and honest as possible. Now, the left claims that voter ID laws are racist because in 2021, everything is racist. They say somehow it is racist to require IDs because black people and Latinos, though not Asians, because Asian Americans are not considered to be people of color anymore by the left, until, of course, it's politically expedient for them to do so. They do too well as a community. It is racist to ask a black person or a Latino person to get an ID to vote. They don't really explain why, not really well, at least, because apparently it's not racist to require an ID to fly or to rent a car or to open a bank account or to buy alcohol or cigarettes or apply for unemployment or apply for a job or to apply for a mortgage or to rent a hotel room or to buy certain cold medicines. All that's legit. That's not a form of institutionalized racism. But when it comes to using an ID to vote, it's somehow racist because black people can't have access to IDs of some kind. Okay, fine. That underlying message to them is it shouldn't be hard to vote because you have a constitutional right to vote. And that's certainly true. And I generally agree it shouldn't be too hard to vote, but it shouldn't be too easy to illegally vote, which is the point that Republicans make. Yet, by the way, I have a constitutional right. You have a constitutional right to bear arms. But not only must you have an ID in order to purchase a weapon, you have to go through a background check. So all of this for us, pardon the pun, I suppose, is ammo. The next time someone tells, oh, there's no fraud whatsoever. Yes, there is some fraud sometimes. It might be small, but you guys say it should never, ever, ever, ever be hard to vote. Period. To the point where I guess you're okay with some fraud. You got to have to be a little bit more honest about it. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So Bumbershoot got canceled again thanks to COVID, although they're blaming COVID. Bumbershoot has been having struggles for the last at least 5 years or so. I can't remember when One Reel went to AEG or Live Nation or whatever it was. There are a lot of businesses and, frankly, politicians that like to look at COVID and blame the coronavirus for the situation they find themselves in. They're saying they're going to refocus for the next year to see what happens. Here's Jason Tells the Future on April 28th at 3:23 p.m. Bumbershoot never comes back. And part of the reason Bumbershoot is in trouble is, number one, they decided to get too cool. Too cool for, they had to be Seattle cool. We're going to get a whole bunch of bands no one has ever heard of unless you happen to be a member of the band. And we're going to charge you $110 a day to show up. But to make it even more unappealing to you, we're going to have artists show up and do poetry, all having to do with social justice.
That's your Jason That's, Tells the Future?
Yeah, all of it. Who would show up for that? I've enjoyed it in the past, but half the time I've only enjoyed it because I haven't had to pay. Because as a member of the press, they gave me free passes, and I would go in. I'm like, oh, okay. I could show up for a couple acts, and then I would leave and feel okay. But if you're spending $110 or $200, whatever it is for the three-day pass, you don't necessarily want to show up for just three bands and then leave.
Yeah, I haven't been interested in Bumbershoot as somebody who like actually listens to new music.
It's just lame.
Yeah, it's been bad since like 2012.
It used to be kind of cool, and then it kind of made a comeback a little bit, and then it just went away again. And then the second day is always the worst. They have a bunch of rock bands that no one cares about, and metal bands, I should say, that no one cares about. And then they always bring that one like older artist that
like Bob Dylan.
That would be cool.
That was, yeah, I wanted
Dylan
to go
is cool.
There.
But then they stopped doing the cool ones. Then they just did sad ones. They just had like sad older bands. I'm like, okay, got it. Billy Idol. Who was it? Billy Idol? What was the last?
Billy Idol.
Yeah, that was. I was like, this is just sad.
Last year was Lizzo was the headliner and she canceled. Remember that?
That wasn't last 2 years
ago. Was that 2 years
ago? Last year was canceled legitimately because of COVID.
Well, Lizzo canceled the one before that.
And by the way, if Lizzo is your headliner, you definitely need to get a new job. That's the one. That's who you go to. Lizzo.
Well, I didn't go to Lizzo. No.
What's that stupid song she does?
The stupid, good as hell.
Yeah. Ugh. It's the most. This is like ironically named Joy Reid. Like good as hell.
Look, you have the rest of your life to get over Joy Reid, and you're not. You're never going to.
Lizzo sucks. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text message. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. A DoorDash driver out in Auburn, he might have been the victim of road rage, but it's 2021. What does that mean?
Producer Everything Peyton. Is racist, Jason.
Everything is racist because it's 2021. And so, of course, this is a case of potential racism, according to Cairo 7, quoting this guy. The driver happens to be black, and he makes this claim. So Cairo 7 is like, okay, let's lean in. I like Cairo 7. But this is kind of lazy to me. This is lazy reporting. This might have been a racist attack. Maybe it was. It's certainly possible it was. But what's the evidence exactly? Give me the evidence, and if it's a case of racism, I'll call it out. We all should call it out. But if the only evidence is that he happens to be black and the driver was white, I'm sorry, but that's not evidence.
Absolutely believe that.
Well, you can believe it all you want, but that doesn't make it a fact. So he was saying, I'm just driving along, doing my job, delivering tacos that are overpriced, that drunk kids or producers order in the middle of the night, willing to spend extra money on, even though they could very easily just send someone to go get the tacos from Taco Bell. Instead of spending 59 cents on a taco, they spend $2.92 to have someone from DoorDash deliver it.
Well, it's good and worth it.
No judgments, except totally judging.
You're judging.
He's doing his job. He says he made eye contact with some random guy. He said it was normal eye contact that he was making. And then, bam, all of a sudden, it gets serious.
A white man that I don't even know. And every time I would drive up to try to, like, move myself from away from him, he would speed up. Guys tried to box me in. It was like they were running me off the road. All that red, that's their paint and all that. I said, what are you guys doing? And the dude pulled out a gun.
Did you hear that? It went from one guy to two. In a red truck. Red MAGA, hello. Because the one thing we know about Trump supporters, they went out and bought cars that are red. Not just hats, but cars. So as you heard him say, he got sort of boxed in, couldn't get away from him. He gets rammed by one of these trucks. He, of course, calls 911 on his cell phone. And he was actually asked whether or not they had a gun or were shooting at him. And at that point, oddly enough, that's when it happened.
You know, what did they shoot? Right when she said that the pickup truck started shooting at me.
So that's terrifying. Terrifying. So the cops come, and then all of a sudden, this goes from a story about racism to a story about how bad cops are. Now he's mad at the cops, because in 2021, everything is racist, but also ACAB. Am I right? Come on. ACAB, right?
For some odd reason, they were on me. They were worried about what I was doing, what was in my car, if I was selling drugs. They were so blatant enough to just ask, was this a drug deal gone bad? That was like one of their first questions.
That was one of their first questions, he says. And yet, Commander Dave Colglazier, talking to Cairo 7 TV, he's with the Auburn Police Department, he said, well, I mean, we don't have any evidence that that question was asked.
I didn't see anything about that in the report. That would not be a standard question.
Of course it wouldn't be standard. But what is standard is asking to search the vehicle, which is something that the man got upset about.
Completely legit question to ask to search his car. Not looking for contraband. What they were looking for was a bullet.
You see that bullet or bullets? That's called evidence. That's called evidence. He didn't allow them to search the vehicle. He said, I have nothing to hide, but I'm not letting you search my vehicle. Okay, well, that's evidence that is no longer available, and if it becomes available, it's potentially tampered with at that point. That is part of the investigation. And now he says he feels like the police just don't care about him.
It's nerve-wracking because I was chased down by two white men in pickup trucks and shot at, and nobody did anything, you know? Nobody, they don't care.
They don't care. Nobody did anything. You called 911 after it happened. They showed up. They tried to start the investigation. The investigation is ongoing. But other than that, they don't care. They did nothing. What were they supposed to do? What were they supposed to do? What were those precogs? Is that what they were called? The minority report? Should we have connected with them first and said, is there going to be a potential hate crime in Auburn that we need to pre-investigate? What were they supposed to do? This is your city. These are your people.
It's a great city.
What are they supposed to do? And of course, buried at the very end of this lengthy story, and this is a long story over at the website, these are the last two sentences, okay, from Cairo 7 TV. Talking about Cole Gazer is the commander. Cole Gazer indicated the incident may be tied to road rage and said, according to detectives, the victim was seen, quote, speeding and weaving through traffic. The victim said he was delivering food and drinks and was driving carefully until he tried to get away from the two pickup trucks. Okay. So, detectives say this might have been a case of road rage. Obviously, it's still wrong. It's still a crime. You should not be using a weapon in a road rage incident. You're supposed to use bats or chains like they did in Mad Max.
Well, duh.
Obviously. But why is that at the very end of the story? Why is that at the... literally the last two sentences of a long story, that's where that incident comes up, that comment comes up. He has all of these claims about it being racism without any of the evidence whatsoever. You have officers who say, we're trying to do an investigation. We believe potentially that this might have been road rage because of the way he was driving. He says, of course, I was not driving like that. I would never. Just because I have a whole bunch of deliveries that I need to actually get to the people on time so that I am insured a good tip doesn't mean that I would ever speed. Doesn't mean that I would ever swerve in and out of traffic. What sounds more legitimate? Again, it's not to say that he deserved this. He very clearly didn't. And in this piece, they also point out, because I can hear in my head the voices, louder than normal, saying... just look at the body camera. Look at the body cam footage. Unfortunately, there was none. Auburn doesn't have body cams on all or even some, I don't know, I don't think, of their officers. This is why we need body cams on every single police officer. Because we could look at that video very quickly and determine whether or not this guy is taking advantage of the fact that he didn't notice any body camera footage or maybe leaning into a bias that he has. Or if what he's saying, with the treatment at least of the police officers towards him, is true. Given that we don't have that, I'm going to rely on the evidence that's been presented. And the evidence presented shows nothing having to do with race. Nothing whatsoever. We need to resist immediately judging people. And I can't believe I have to say this in 2021. Stop judging every incident by the skin color of those involved. A victim who is black or Asian or Jewish or gay or whatever does not mean they are a victim because of that. Sometimes it does. And that's when you look at the evidence. That's when you determine, using reason and logic and things that you can verify, that's when you look at that and suggest, maybe there's something up here. This sounds a little weird to me. But simply having a black victim and two white guys who were in red cars, or at least one red truck, sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. I'm glad that that does not indicate racism. Some people root in a weird way for racism. Not because they want to be victimized, but because they want proof of a pre-existing opinion that they hold. It is a bias. It's confirmation bias. If you go into a job, for example, thinking that you're not going to get it because the person who's interviewing you doesn't like gay people and you're gay. If you think that all the time, anytime you don't get a job, you're going to make the assumption it is because of homophobia. If you're black and you automatically think that all police officers who show up don't care about you, well, when the officer shows up and asks a basic question like, can I search your car, trying to get the bullet, you're going to assume, oh, they don't even care about me. They, whatever. They're just trying to plant drugs because they're going to accuse me of being a drug dealer. All of that stuff, I'm not saying it happened here in this case, but it does shade the way we interact with police, the way we interact with others. And we have to stop doing that. We all have to stop doing that. When we have actual cases in front of us of racism or homophobia or whatever, then it's on us to call it out strongly, condemn it strongly, do whatever we can to make sure that it doesn't happen again. But in this case, there's no evidence of that. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to join the conversation and send me a text message. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. Welcome back to the Jason Rants Show. This is actually kind of an interesting story that I don't know if people realize how significant it is. When the Supreme Court decides to hear any case, understand it is significant, even if on the surface it sounds like a small issue. We talked yesterday with our friend Josh Hammer from Newsweek, opinion editor, my boss there actually, on the gun rights story. And we know, because it's about gun rights and the way that they have posed the question there, we know that that's going to be a significant case. But there's one on free speech rights that are important, that is important. And I'll tackle it because I watched the entire first three seasons, at least, of The Practice. Then it got kind of wonky and I didn't like it anymore. But that means I'm an expert because I watched The Practice. And I almost went to law school. Almost. This is something about free speech on campus. In this case, a high school campus. It involves Brandi Levy. When she was 14 years old, she went on Snapchat. Snapchat allows you to send quick videos or photos with captions. And they go away after 24 hours. But sometimes they don't go away because someone who maybe doesn't like you will take a screenshot of it and pass it around, which is why, Peyton, you never send nude photos on Snapchat, because they can screenshot it and send it around.
Yeah, just Snapchat, though.
Just Snapchat. You can send the nude photos everywhere else, though.
Facebook Messenger,
Twitter especially, yeah, none of those problems.
Everything.
So, don't do that. She sends out a snap with profanity about her school in Des Moines, Iowa. She was mad that she was kept off of her high school's junior varsity cheerleading squad instead of put to the next level because she had already done it for a year. She was ticked off. So she sent out the snap that said, F school, F softball, F cheer, F everything, which actually kind of sounds like my Snapchat. Minus the softball, because softball's not a sport.
Please stay off Snapchat.
So that post ended up getting to the coach on the cheerleading team, which is also weird that there's coaches for cheerleading, because that's also not a sport. It's dance. Let's stop this nonsense. And so as a result of that, she gets suspended from her team for a year. So she sues. 4 years later, it's gone to the Supreme Court. And this is the first major test of student free speech rights in almost two decades. And all of this is going to center around, and this is the one thing you got to learn. This is where you get a little bit nerdy. You're going to hear the case on this, Tinker, which is also oddly based out of Des Moines. It's called Tinker versus Des Moines. It's based, I think it was 1969. That case essentially granted you free speech rights on and off campus. That the moment you as an individual, even if you're some 16-year-old punk kid who's mad about your cheerleading squad, the second you get on campus doesn't mean you lose your free speech rights. You still have free speech rights. And at the time, it was a 7-2 ruling. Justices overwhelmingly said students don't lose their rights to free speech on campus, public school. However, it also said you could be punished if your speech disrupts the campus, if a reasonable interpretation of your speech could lead to disruptions. And you can go look back. Maybe you remember this, the Bong Hits for Jesus case out of Alaska. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
Yeah. And that, and I think that that was a misapplication of the Tinker principle. But what do I know? I didn't make it to season four of The Practice. Perhaps it would have told me then why I was wrong. So this is going to be a significant issue. Because in this case, Brandy Levy, in the lower court ruling, said Tinker applies to off-campus speech as well. That the school can't punish you for this kind of speech that was done off campus. Then the Third Circuit Court of Appeals in Philadelphia said Tinker does not apply to off campus speech. And it's worth noting, in 2021, what does off campus mean? What does it mean anymore? We're in a world of remote learning. So what is on versus off campus? What is the reach of a school to punish you for speech? And the court originally said, before it got to the Supreme Court, that it was leaving for another day, quote, the First Amendment implications of off-campus student speech that threatens violence or harasses others. But now the Supreme Court is getting involved. And guess who's fighting against this girl? Guess who's fighting against ruling for more speech in favor of less speech? Two groups. Well, one group and one administration. Guess which administration? Say it's the Biden administration.
Ooh, Jason, I think it's the Biden administration.
You are 100% correct. There is only one administration in power right now, so, you know, we didn't need to really quiz you. It's the Biden administration alongside anti-bullying groups. They're saying that the ruling went too far, that the First Amendment, according to the acting solicitor general, writing on behalf of the administration, the First Amendment does not categorically prohibit public schools from disciplining students for speech that occurs off campus. So they are trying to argue a larger scope of responsibilities coming from schools. This matters because your kids, every year that goes by, are doing more of their communicating online, and they're doing most of it off campus. So do you want to live in a world in which your school has more power to punish your kids for content of their speech that would otherwise be deemed perfectly legal, even if you might find it unacceptable because of the language? Because my concern is that you're going to start seeing schools abuse conservative kids for expressing conservative viewpoints, and you don't want that to happen. That's why we're paying close attention to this. The Jason Rantz Show.